Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
All right. Stand up. No. Be seated. You know, what a thrill to be here. Isn't it great being here with these beautiful people? And even Jeremy is here. Wow.
We love Jeremy. Yeah. We do.
Yeah, it's good. He comes to church sometimes too, you know, like he doesn't have enough meetings going on.
He doesn't have enough to do.
But yeah, well, we've been married 47 years to each other. She's my favorite wife, best wife I've ever had. We've got three wonderful kids and eight grandchildren. Wow. And this gorgeous, drop-dead, smoking hot, what is it? Hunka chunka burning love. Anyway, she get a vision of her washing diapers at the river, beating them on rocks, raising our family in the jungle with no electricity and no running water, no flush toilets. Please feel sorry for us. We lived there for quite a while, and she taught the women and just tore it up. I mean, when really an anointed woman of God. She has multiple dreams every night, like 7-8 dreams nightly. And last night, she had a whole bunch of revelation for this church. So listen to the word of the Lord through my wife.
So first of all, I just want to say I love Panama. I love the jungle. So he make you feel bad, but actually it was the best time of my life. So if you are called to missions, I say go. Listen to the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, you'll regret it later if you don't go, especially if you're young and don't go and you get older and you think, oh, now I'm too old. But you're never too old. So if the Lord's calling you, just go. And I just want to say we love you. You know, you're made to be loved. And so I just wanted to say that first off. But this is a good year for you. I just want to share just a teeny bit about my yearly word. I get a word for the year, and it was, this is a year of opportunities. And I just saw people, well, first of all, I just tell you, you go through a little door, and I saw the doors getting bigger and bigger, and just a small opportunity can lead to a bigger horizon and bigger door, and that's what the Lord said. But he said, you have to have eyes to see and ears to hear, and I saw people with these huge plastic party glasses, you know, and people with and big Dumbo ears, and then I saw people with little teeny glasses, and then little teeny ears, and the Lord said, you have to have ears to hear and eyes to see, and then you won't miss those opportunities. So I just pray you don't miss God's opportunity. It may even be taking something smaller, and then the Lord is just going to make it much more. I just talked to somebody that left their job to go to a lesser paying job because God spoke to them, and the opportunities that came from that were so incredible. So don't just believe the Lord when he tells you to do something and do it, and he's going to make it really big. So here's my dreams for you last night. And I write them down because I like to give them to the leadership so they can just pray. You need to pray into it. If you get something, don't waste it by not praying into it. Be sure that you pray that thing to come to pass or you push that thing back. So it's ammunition. It's spiritual warfare ammunition. So use that for the glory of God. And so I saw a reconciliation service. I just say you're called for reconciliation, reuniting, reunions, bringing people and things back together again. Fence mending this year, you're going to reunite broken marriages, families, people that have been disenfranchised with churches altogether will come in. And some that have spoken against you will come back around this year to bless you. This is your year to be an agent of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, God has made all things new, reconciled us to himself, and given us the ministry of reconciling others to God. Number two, I saw a train and I heard, train, train, train. And the Lord said he's raising up you to minister through schools. He's raising up ministers through these schools, especially young, but not limited to the young. And I say to Jeremiah, that's your word too. Train, train, train. Jeremy, I always call you Jeremiah. You must have that Jeremiah anointing. Really? So, Jeremy, I heard that for you too.
That you're missed it.
Yeah. Oh, I missed it. I was right behind. No, it's for Jeremy too. Though really, it's train, raise up those young ministers, and they'll be the old. We always follow the young, don't we? Wherever they go, we want to be young, so we just jump right on board. But we want what they got because they've got an anointing. The Lord has just really increased the anointing on the youth. Have you seen that? They hear, they do all of these things, move in signs and wonders, and in a double what we have, even a triple. The Lord is so good to raise up young men and women, and we're for it. Number three, I saw a car lot full of beautiful new cars, and I feel like the Lord said he's going to give you lots of more buildings. You're going to spawn more churches, both here, overseas, with all types of evangelism breaking out. This is the day for the gospel to go out in all kinds of ways. And number four, sea creatures coming in. They look like the cartoon characters in SpongeBob SquarePants. And
what a dream. Wow.
Then they turn into these surfer types, tattooed and dreadlocks and all kinds of types coming in. And then I saw that they were S-E-E creatures. And I saw mighty prophetic ministries raised up in your midst. And they had prophetic conferences and prophetic teams. Whoa. Powerful conferences and prophetic words are going to come from this house. Yes, he's already touching somebody right here. A powerful one, a sea creature rising up in your midst. Number five, I saw people who would go to the nations to minister, but they felt like they only had crumbs to take. And this is the year that God is raising you up. He's raising you up to another level. All of you are going to go to another level, he says. Get ready to use what you have. You may think it's just minute, but you know, you just take what you have. We have a friend of ours who the Lord said, just take what you have and I'm going to raise you up. James Leves, if you've heard of James, and all he had was a baked potato and a half-eaten pork chop. And he said, the Lord said, well, just use what you have. He said, that's all I got. So he heated it up, took it to the parking garage. And that was the beginning of his ministry. He's now planting churches. He's all over.
Well, he kicked a homeless guy and said, I'm your new pastor. Here, eat this.
Yeah.
And that's how he birthed the church.
But he just
half-eaten pork chop and a baked potato.
I left that out, didn't I?
I want to explain
it. I need
you
to fill in for me. That's why I got him here, to help me. But so that's that pork chop and baked potato started his ministry. So what do you have? It may just look really small, but God's going to exponentially make that get bigger. And so I just break that fear off of you today. If you have fear that you don't have anything, wait till you see what God does with that little bit that you have. Just like he multiplied the bread and fish, he's going to multiply it for you. And even some of you that think you have the little, just a little teeny bit, you're going to have even more than some around you. You're going to be so surprised at what God does through in you and how he uses you. So number six, I saw a young man that had been terribly abused by his father, and I heard this chorus, rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. You are called to be rescuers. I saw superheroes coming out of this place. They were involved in rescues of all different types, drug addicts, homeless, children thrown into the sex slave trade, families, marriages with problems. Come on, superheroes, rise up. And so I want to make a decree over you, and I want you to stand up. I do this sometimes. The Lord gave this to me. I think it was in November. And so I want to declare this over you. We're not in the time of begging. We're in the time of declaring what God says about us. So I just say, rise up, O man and women of God, for you are called to be a city on a hill, beacon of hope for all to see. You have the heart and the arms for the lost and the dying to run into. And through you, many will find the hope they're looking for. Lock eyes with the Lord. Stop seeing yourself as less than, but see yourself as more than enough, for Christ is your strength, your anointing, and your light. And you will hold out the beacon of light and of hope. He has put his glory in you.
Come on,
he has wrapped you up in it, and nothing can hold you back. For the strength you carry is him. So arise, shine, church, for he has called you to greatness. Yes. Time for you to put all your excuses behind you. For with him, all things are possible. Nothing is out of reach. His dream is waiting for fulfillment in you. Step into your new day today. For you, my radiant one, will change the world around you. Give God a clap offering. For he is good. He loves you.
Amen.
We love you.
Stay standing, everybody. All right. Say it out loud. I'm going to change the world. I'm not going to make a dent.
I'm not going to make a dent.
I'm going to make a difference.
I'm going to make a difference.
God's going to use me. Tell the person next to you, even if you don't like them, God's going to use you. Everybody say it. I will go where he sends me. I will speak what he tells me to say. And I will do the will of God. For he has a claim on me. And I am not my own. I have been bought with a price. I belong to God. And he's a really good daddy. And he's going to make my life what he wants it to be. Have a seat in Jesus' name in the heavenly realm. All right. Okay, I got just a few minutes, so I want to talk fast. You're going to listen fast. I want to talk about how God is going to use you. The Lord has shown me, I did not know her dreams until this morning, but the Lord gave me this word for this church that God is going to use you so powerfully as an epicenter of revival in San Diego, and God is going to, out of this place, send many of you to carry, like Mary, the glory of God and birth and awakening wherever you go. That's what he told me. Now, at this point, I'm supposed to give away a book, but I do not have a book. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick a person, and they're going to go after the service. Catherine and Kirsten, our team, thank you for coming, girls. They came all the way from L.A., somebody take them to lunch. Some single guys, take them to lunch. But I'm going to pick somebody, and what you're going to do is they're going to go back to the book table and take anything they want off the table, all right? And you're the one, bro. Stand up. In Jesus' name. I hope this is recorded. I see the Lord coming upon you in might and power. I am going to be so honored that I got to shake your hand and meet you, because God is going to use you 100 times more than you have a clue. The glory of God is going to come on you. You're going to have visitations, visions, dreams, angels coming into your house. You're going to have a supernatural destiny that is so powerful. Yeah, you can just laugh right now, because I'm telling you, you're going to go through your entire life and die a really, really old guy. And you're going to look back and say, I can't believe how God has used my life. Some of the mess you went through in the past is to prepare you. And he's going to take the mess and make it a miracle. People around you are going to start wanting to be in your presence because of the anointing on your life. There is a high, heavenly, glorious calling on you. There is so much of God that's going to come through your life. I'm just starting. Favor is going to increase. You have had some financial difficulty, and it's going to end today. And I'm going to give you $100. One, I don't have a $100 bill, so two, three, four, five. God is singling you out for financial favor and blessing. Don't worry about finances. When he launches you and calls you, you're going to go where he calls you to go. Do you have a passport? Okay. You're going to have so many stamps in that passport. Have you signed up? Are you part of this church here? Okay. Have you signed up for any of these teams? You're going to Mozambique. Okay. Now, when you go there, there is going to be a light of glory shining on your life. Daniel 12:3 will be your life verse. Shining ones are coming. Here he is, one of them. You say, why is God saying all these things about him? What about me? You're next. I don't see a ring there. All right, you're single. All right. Not for long. Favor and favor and favor. Fire. Stand up again. Fire's going to come. Lift your hands. You're going to put your hand right into the fire of God right now. There it is. Fire's going to come upon you. Fire's going to come upon you. Fiery one. What's your name? Joel. Come on. Joel. You're gonna have an army of young people following you in days to come. Get ready, get ready, get ready. You say, oh, don't say anymore because I'm going to get proud. No, you're not. You're going to get humbled by all of this. You're going to go back and listen to these things. You're going to say, I can't believe this. That's exactly right. You better have faith to believe what God is saying over your life. So get ready for God to use you dramatically. Amen? Amen. Oh, don't forget your free book, whatever you want on the table. Just one. I already gave you $100, so... One book. Hey, you guys are studying the Song of Songs here. Is there anybody taking the Song of Songs study thing? Two chicks? Is that all three? Where are the guys? Where are the guys? It's got body parts in it. Oh, it's a women's connect group. Oh.
Break protocol here, Pastor Brian.
If I had the authority, I would command thou thee to study the Song of Songs. It is the greatest book in all the Bible. I'm not going to talk about it today, I don't think. But it is awesome. It's not a Dr. Ruth manual for the church. It's not a how-to for dysfunctional couples. I tell people, they think it's erotica. I say, I know no woman in this room that would want to be told, get ready, ladies, your hair is like a flock of goats skipping down the mountain. Your teeth are fluffy sheep coming up out of the washing. Not one is missing. And your neck is like the Tower of David. And inside of your belly is a mound of wheat. Oh, stop, stop. Dude, you got to be like whacked to think Song of Songs is erotica. It is about divine romance. And I have a devotional out there, 365 days through the Song of Songs. You won't go blind if you study it, if you read it. Do we have any of the Sacred Journey out there left? Sold out? Okay. You can go online and get the Sacred Journey. It's a commentary. My wife and I, it's a devotional commentary we wrote together. And I've got the translation of the Song of Songs. I've studied this book. I memorized it. Then I worked on the Hebrew text. And I could tell you, it has inflamed my life. I am absolutely ruined forever with the Song of Songs. And I shared the other night at the Fire and Glory, I had some of my really close friends, leaders in the body of Christ, if I dropped their names, you would know them, okay? They pulled me aside in another country. I was there ministering, and they said, Brian, we love you, and we love your message and everything, but you're doing all this gooey romance stuff. We got to have mighty men. We need apostolic anointing. We need testosterone in the church. We need warriors to rise up. And you're feminizing the church. I word of knowledge. I said, well, Jesus isn't coming back for a husband. Right, ladies? Come on. He's not coming back for a husband. Come back for a bride. So we got to prepare a bride. End time ministry is to prepare the bride of Christ to be the radiant lookalike partner. The word radiant found in Ephesians 5 is endoxos. It means to be infused with glory. God wants to infuse his last days church with glory. He's going to glorify you. He's going to manifest such power in you. Your very bones are going to quake with the power of God. You have the very DNA of heaven inside of you. Boys and girls, you have God's seed within you. That means DNA. When Jesus breathed on his disciples, bro, he passed on the DNA of heaven to those 12. They changed the world. I want to talk to you in the next 6 hours about changing the world in San Diego. God is going to use you. He has a plan to use you. Like this man here, Joel, you're amazing, bro. Man, I need you to sign my Bible. You are just, God is going to use you so powerfully, and I'm going to knock inferiority. I'm going to kick it to the curb, man. You are never going to struggle with defeat, discouragement, despair, depression. It's never going to come to your house again in Jesus' name. Isn't that great? Yeah. Yep. And Mrs. Joel, too, is going to get blessed, whoever she is. I'm helping you, man. I'm helping you. I've never met you, right? We don't know each other. This is not some rigged deal. Okay. Say it. God's going to use me. You know, for years, my wife and I, when we were first saved out of, you know, our deal, we prayed together. We got married after a long engagement of 3 weeks. And don't try that at home. But it worked 47 years later. You know, it's working. But we prayed. You remember this, sweetheart. I know you do. But we prayed every day as new believers. Use us, God. We wanted to be used of the Lord. And you know, we had a lot of growing to do, of course. The Lord had to shift us and align us and get our hearts right and deal with us and all of that stuff. But our passion as young 21-year-old couple was that God would use us. And we had these dreams that He would somehow take us where the gospel had never been. And we could actually penetrate a dark region and dismantle the hierarchy of darkness over a region. And then years later, God, through our training and equipping, et cetera, we find ourselves in the jungle. And there we were ministering to a people that had never heard the gospel in their language. They never even had a written language. It was all a verbal spoken language. So I was in on the finalization of their alphabet and did the linguistic write-up for that people group. And then to be able to translate the Word of God into the Payakuna language and to see the impact. I remember one blind former witch doctor got saved. And he would hold that Bible, couldn't read it, but he would just hold it to his heart. You'd never see him without holding that Bible to his heart. And here we are. We've got in how many translations, dude? And like, we got apps and we got commentaries and software programs. And yet, are we really cherishing that treasure of the Word of God? So, you know, we were so thrilled that God would use us to shake that village. And in spite of me, in spite of us, He came in power and swept through our village and converted nearly everyone in a 48-hour period. It was a sweeping revival that really changed our lives forever. Out of that, I had angels begin to visit me. Is that okay to talk this way among Methodists? And my wife then got into this prophetic deal where, you know, we had no equipping. We had nobody teaching us, or it was just a sovereign thing. And she began to have all these dreams and prophecies coming to her, and you know, we never go to a church that we don't get what she had last night, multiple words and dreams for the church. Make sure you message to the pastors. By the way, you got awesome pastors here. Aren't they tremendous? Come on, give it up. Give it up. No golf clap. They are incredible. What they do and how they serve the Lord in private and public and the sacrifices they make, the mission trips they go on, you know, the stress and strain that it can be on a family ministry like this. And yet, they're so faithful. They're so amazing. They pray for you more than you'd ever realize. They carry you in their hearts daily. So you are blessed, blessed, blessed. Amen? Yeah. Amen. You can write that check out to... No, never mind. So God's going to use you. You know, it's amazing how different people God uses in the Bible. Ehud. He used a guy named Ehud. I mean, what a name. Ehud. Yo, Ehud. Get your hud over here. Ehud, he was a judge, a deliverer. When you think of judges, don't think of like robed guys with a gavel. issuing verdicts. He was a breaker. He was a deliverer. And Ehud shook a nation. He broke open the entire nation, and he was crippled in his right hand. He was all gimped up in his right hand. And he went before the king, what was his name, Eglon. Jabba the Eglon. The king was so big. How big was he? He was so big, when Ehud, with his left hand, hidden dagger on his right side, because when the TSA agent checked him to get inside the king, they didn't even bother his right side, because his right hand, so they're checking to see if he had a dagger or sword. He hadn't. But he hid it here. So when he goes in to see, you know, Eglon the Hutt, he pulls with his right hand the dagger and sticks it to Fatty. Lefty gave it to Fatty, man. Boom. And it says, this is what it says, King James. It says, the fat thereof came over the hilt of the dagger, and he could not pull it out. So a crippled lefty, sanctify all the left. You know, the lefties here, southpaws. You know, a lefty delivered a nation. Shamgar. I mean, another cool name, right? I'm sure you want to name your kids Shamgar, you know? Sounds like ShamWow, you know? No, we'll give you two. Just pay extra shipping. You get two Shamgars. Shamgar, he was a judge. God used him to deliver people. And all he had... Man, all he had was a stick. A nobody with a stick delivered the nation. What about Deborah? What was her handicap? She was a woman. Ooh, God uses women. Yeah. You know, it's so amazing. God, angels come to men in the Bible. They either fall over dead or they argue with the angel. Angels come to women in the Bible. Okay. Whatsoever you sayeth, I will doest. Be it unto me according to your word. Women have no problem with that. But men, I'm telling you, God, some of God's best men are women. God's going to raise up mighty, mighty women in these last days. So Deborah, I mean, this chick was amazing. I'm sorry, we're in church. This woman of God was amazing. Deborah sat under a palm tree. She must be from SoCal, you know. She sat under a palm tree, and a palm tree in the Bible is always a picture of victory, triumph. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, they waved palm branches. It's a picture of triumph and victory. Deborah's under the palm tree. She gets visions and prophesies and gets strategy and revelation, and the guys are going, well, I don't know. And she finally said, look, you either get on board or God's going to give the glory of this victory to a woman. Okay. So they all the guys woke up and jumped into the fight, and Deborah, through her prophetic revelation, brought a great victory. God's going to use you. Don't hide anymore. Like Jeremiah. They always call you Jeremiah, don't they? Or my wife does anyway. Okay, Jeremiah, he was a 17-year-old teenager when Almighty God came to him. And what was Jeremiah's excuse? I can't go. I'm too young. He said, God said, don't even go there. Don't say, I'm a child. Can I tell you, your time of excuses is over. That passed with like the 90s. You're no longer living in the land of excuses. Oh, I can't go to Mozambique. I can't go on a mission trip. Or I can't touch my wayward family. Oh, yeah? You just get your wayward heart fixed and watch how God works in your family. I'm telling you, you're going to be the revival your family needs. You are going to be the reconciliation. You are the restorer of streets with dwellings. You are literally going to heal your dysfunctional family. You are. You are. I don't care what the issue is. You're going to get so full of God in these last days. Come on, Summit Church. You're going to get so full of Espiritu Santo. Lleno del Espiritu Santo. El poder de Dios. And you're going to influence your family so powerfully. You really are. You are. Yeah. You got, don't tell anybody, but you got a thing or two with your family out there. But God's going to heal them through your life. You're so powerful. What's your name? Yeah. My, Chris, you're just so anointed. You ought to hang out with Joel. Do you know this guy over here? Are you guys friends? I could see that. Yeah. You and I need to help him get the special person in his life. You and me. We'll work on it. We're working on it, right? Okay. So, the book of Judges is how God uses messed up people. You know, God loves messed up people. It's all he has. He's looking for somebody that will say, use me. I mean, I was so drugged out, man. I was so messed up. You have no clue. I would tell you more, but I don't want it to get out to my grandkids. Because they think granddad's really cool. Or at least I think they think that. But I came from such a wreck of a life. And God took us into the jungle. I thought, man, after our 8 years or so there, I thought, man, this is amazing. I'm not even 40 at that time, and I'd seen so many things that I couldn't believe I'd ever see in a lifetime. I said, God, you got to give me a bigger vision. He says, okay. How about New England? Yankee country. That concrete jungle from New York to Boston and the five states of that region. And the Lord sent us there, and it broke open. Our church just exploded with growth. We had traffic jams out in front of our church building. We had to hire cops just to direct traffic. And hired guys to do weddings. We had so many weddings, Joel, in our church. That I do have that anointing. I release it over you. Woman cometh. Don't miss out on a destiny. So awesome. And after the church grew a few thousand, and it's like, you know, it doesn't happen up there. And we handed it over to our next generation, and I go, Lord, you got to give me another vision. And now this translation, the last 8 years to work on this and to see how it's impacting people's lives, are coming alive, the Spirit of the Lord coming on people. God is going to use you. I mean, if he can use me, he can use anyone. He could use you. He could flow through you like a mighty river. You will be a shelter. A man will become a shelter for the storm. A woman will become that mighty shelter for others to come and hide in your shade, in your shadow. You know, there's a woman in the Bible. I'll end with this. I told the first service about a guy in the Bible. And I want to tell you a quick story about a woman in the Bible. And she's forgotten. You don't even know her name. You will after today. You'll never forget her. I shared this in front of thousands of women at Women on the Backside. What is it? Women on the Front Line. Yeah. They like charged me. I couldn't hardly get out of the venue. They couldn't believe. They were begging me for more stuff about this. You better sit down. You sitting down? All right. It's the woman at the well. The woman at the well. It's kind of a funny story. But you got to see it the way, you got to see it through Jesus' eyes. And it suddenly becomes real. Jesus had to come through the Samaritan region there. And the disciples went off. They went off to buy lotto tickets or something. They went off to, you know, they went off. And here's Jesus all alone, and he's sitting on a well. Do you remember the story? It's in John 4. What was the well? Do anybody know what the well? It was Jacob's well. And Jesus sealed and closed. He was a lid. He sat as a lid to Jacob life in you. The word well is a spring-fed well. It's a picture of Jacob's heel-grabbing, conniving, clever, better than you. Let's compete. I'm going to grab what's mine and yours. That Jacob life in us, Jesus sealed it forever. He sat and closed Jacob's well. And he opened up a new one. It was a well of living water. And a fountain was coming off the top of a well. And his name is Jesus, Yeshua, Isa. And there he is, waiting for one woman. So she comes with her water pot. And here's this strange Jewish man sitting on the well. And he says to her, "Give me to drink." It wasn't water he wanted. He wanted her worship. He wanted her heart. He wanted the refreshing she could give to him. You with me, guys? And they got into this amazing dialogue, this conversation, back and forth. It's really funny because Jesus is like spirit. And she's like, "I don't get it." And he's talking about living water. If you drink this water that I will give you, you'll never be thirsty again. She's going, "You don't even have a bucket. The well's deep." She's thinking natural. He's thinking spiritual. Isn't it funny? That's how we are. And they go back and forth about where to worship, and you Jews worship here. And he says, "It's in spirit. It's not where, it's how. It's our spirit connecting with God, not in a building, you know, not in a certain place. It's how we worship. Is it real? Is it authentic from our heart?" And finally, she puts one foot into his world and one foot into her world. And she says, "Okay, give me a drink so I don't of this living water so I don't have to come back here every day to get this water." She's not getting it. He said, "Okay, go call your husband." Husband? "I don't have a husband." He said, "Actually, you've had five." Messed up, huh? "You've had five. You're living with one that isn't." She said, "You're a prophet." Can I say to all my friends, you're so wonderful, you're so beautiful, all of you, so tremendous, especially Joel. But can I say, and please don't take offense, but everyone in this room, you've had five husbands. You've been married five times. You've been married to your five senses. You're living with the sixth, that's the number of man. You're locked into a world that's not his. Jesus is the seventh. He's the seventh husband. He's the seventh man. Oh, she got it. Ah, she dropped her water pot. She became one. And she carried living water back to a village and led everybody to Christ. Everybody came out like an avalanche came out of that village. Oh, and they came to meet with this man sitting on a well. She led an entire village to Christ. Have you done that lately? And the church doesn't even know her name. I'm going to tell you. Her name is Potini. Photini. Some of you don't believe me, but you believe Google. Her name is Potini. Can I ask you, ladies, why was she conveniently deleted from church records? Any hunch? She was a woman. Potini went from that village and led village after village after village. She tore up the Middle East. She turned it upside down. She was listed in the earliest records of the church history. She was listed as one of the four preeminent apostles, Peter, James, John, and Potini. That woman messed up five husbands, didn't have a clue, just went to get a drink of water. And she was used by God so powerfully, and I'm just starting. Jesus appeared to her in Alexandria. She went down to Egypt. Jesus appeared to her and said, I have a work for you to do in Rome. Potini, diminutive woman as she was, she and a band of gals, they went to Rome. Nero heard the woman who was turning the world upside down was in his village, was in his city. So he dispatched a massive number of troops to go arrest her and bring her to him. She beat them to it. She knew they were coming and went and snuck into the palace and said, I'm here. You looking for me? This woman was fearless. God used her so powerfully, and the church doesn't even have a clue who she is. Nero looked at her and asked her, are you willing to die right now for your Nazarene? She said, not only I, but these women that are with me. We are willing to die for him. He was so moved by her courage. Instead of killing her, he ordered the Italian stallions, the Roman guys, the troops, beat their hands with rods. So they went and took rods and beat their hands, and not one bone was broken, not even a nail. Get some more. So he brought another band of them, beat their hands for an hour, not one bone was broken. The third set of guys went to beat them, couldn't hurt him. Disgusted, Nero called for his daughter. Her name was Domenina. I've done my research. Her name was Domenina. And he said, bring all the wealth of Rome. Put it here on the table in the massive hall there. And they filled these tables full. Gucci purses. Shoes. Prada. Gold. Silver. Garments. Necklaces, jewels. And he left and said, Domenina, bribe them. All of this will be theirs if they deny Christ. Wrong thing to do. Domenina got saved. She got converted to the bone and ended up giving all of that wealth to the poor. Nero was infuriated with his daughter. And as he found out what she did, news came to him that Potini had led his brother to the Lord as well. He heated up a fiery furnace. He threw her in there for 3 days, after which she came out. The woman at the well. You'll never guess how he killed her. He did eventually kill her. She was a martyr. You know how he did it? Threw her in the bottom of a well. And the woman at the well met the one she loved. Her name is Potini. She changed the world. Women of God, you can do it. And let the mighty jealous men rise up too. And we can do it as well. If you believe your life has a calling, a destiny, and that God really wants to use you in the coming days, I want you to stand up, and I want to pray for you. You'll never forget her name, will you? Yeah. Put your hand over your heart. I'm sure you have one. Get us out of our five senses. Get us out of our natural world. We want to be one with you, Lord. We want to be one with you. We want living water. We want to drink from the well that never runs dry. We want to be who you called us to be, created by the breath of God. Oh, you chose us before we were born. You put your delight upon us. You put your love upon us. You have pre-planned our life, and it's good. In our very DNA, the scroll of our life, it's written the code of what we're going to do and what we're going to be for you. So we crush under our feet hopelessness, despair. Why am I here? Why am I going through this season? We crush it under our feet. And we rise up, Lord, as awakened ones, ready to change San Diego, ready to influence our family, that messed up work environment. Lord, ready to be a light shining until we become the Daniel 12:3 company of shining ones that glisten with the awakened spirit on the Transfiguration Mountain of glory. Call us by name. Call us, Lord, and send us, use us. We forsake our excuses. We trash our excuses. We throw them all away. And we just say, God, if some way you could use my life in this next decade, if you could use me to impact one person, to touch a child, to bless a young adult, then my whole life is worth it. I pray, God, for the boomers in the room, my generation, that look back at times with regret, even remorse. Why have I not used my life more wisely for you? I say to you, my boomer friend, today is the first day of the rest of your life. It's going to change from today on. And the Xers, I say to you, get ready. You've wondered about what God's doing with your generation. He's going to raise you up, anoint you with a tender heart. He's going to shift some things inside, align your vision with His. Millennials, listen up. God's got a grip on you. You're the daybreakers and dawn makers. You won't wait for a new day. You will bring it. And to the Z's, we love you. We will invest our life in you. And we will see you rise from your teens and tweens into the highest place of glory. So say it again. God's going to use me. And tell the person next to you, and now you kind of like them, tell them, God's going to use you too. God bless you. We love you. Summit Church, you're beautiful.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.
Give up your mercy.